Late Drive Morning Edition, coming soon to Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's gift to the galaxy.
Yes, quite right too. The weather today, it's a light rain, a wet start, becoming drier and brighter. Very windy, but reasonably warm. Maximum of 16 degrees centigrade, minimum of 10 degrees centigrade. Good morning. Welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Alex Lefchuk in the seat to guide you through the next 7,200 seconds, in which we'll be featuring our country music expert Cameron Tilbury, the first Secretary of the Embassy of Japan, actually, Daisuke Tsuchiya, will be speaking to us about his thoughts on the recent Japanese tsunami and events that have been going on in Japan since then. We have Aaron Craig, our head chef, as well with another culinary tip of the week. And of course, we'll be speaking to Louis Savvy to find out what's been happening with the London Sci-Fi Film Festival. But kicking off today, we are delighted to be able to welcome a fantastic individual who has a whole wealth of information in terms of how do we actually work with the mind, how you work through that. She's chair of the Medical School Hypnosis Association, visiting teaching fellow at Oxford University Medical School, a general polymath of things to do and matters with the mind and all manners of focuses and such like and so on, Ursula James. Are you there, Ursula?
I certainly am. Good morning.
Excellent. Delighted to touch base with your good self. Your website, ursulajames.com, a wonderful go-to source for lots of information. But let's kick off with this notion. For people who might be a little bit frightened, a little bit unsure when we start talking about hypnotherapy, and they say, oh, am I going to be hypnotised? I don't want to end up sort of barking and doing all sorts of strange things. Just talk us through what exactly hypnotherapy actually is.
Well, first thing I will say is every single person has been hypnotised. Not necessarily formally, but if you've been in love or if you've been driving along a road you're very familiar with, there are many different states in which you can be very suggestible. Look at TV adverts. How many adverts have you got stuck in your head that you don't particularly want? So if you think you're not susceptible, it probably means that you are. But in terms of hypnosis, it's a really gentle, simple process, and any suggestions that are made are pre-agreed with you. So before you are actually hypnotized, you decide on the objective, so whether it's losing weight or stopping smoking or whatever sort of goal-setting process it is. So it's you're much more in control than you think you actually are. In fact, you hear everything that's said. You don't necessarily need to listen, but you're aware of what's going on some level all the way throughout the process.
When we speak to athletes, they're very much of the mindset that actually being in the zone and actually getting focused on what they need to do is essential to actually winning the race. I mean, we talk about Andy Murray, for instance, and how successful or unsuccessful he's actually been in different ways. Is this something, though, that can actually help and assist everybody at any walk of life in terms
without of question. Focusing on that? I mean, the thing is, there is a quote that says, if you believe you're right or you believe you're wrong, you're still right. So belief is incredibly important. If you think you can do something, the likelihood is you probably can. If you think you can't, you definitely won't be able to. So what's going on in your head changes your abilities and changes your, you know, changes the whole dynamic and capacity for doing stuff. So, you know, getting it into your head that actually you are more able and capable will take you beyond the parameters that you thought you had in the first place. I mean, it is quite wonderful, really. And it's one of those things, once you change your mind, it remains changed because it becomes a habit to see yourself pushing yourself that bit further and doing something a little more.
A point we were talking about last night, in fact, with Mike Dooley, our inspirational guru from Florida, in fact, the strapline, obviously, thoughts become things, choose the good ones, was the notion of the resistance that sometimes, and it may well be a British characteristic, and I'm prepared to actually say it's something which is unique to the culture, or perhaps there are other cultures that are actually experiencing, that there's a kind of level of scepticism about such things. And
I think that's incredibly healthy. I think it's very important to, you know, to make your own decisions about whether you're going to do something or not. I mean, the other group of people, I call them sheeple. They're like sheep. They don't think what they're doing, and they just follow everybody else. So if you're in a good group, if you're in a group of people who are quite proactive and quite successful, you're more likely to be proactive and successful yourself. But if you're in a group of people who overeat and find excuses for their bad behaviour, you'll find yourself slipping into that as well. So societally, that's not easy to say with a cold. Actually, I'm not usually this gruff. So societally,
I thought, Ursula, you're putting on a very saucy voice just for our benefit. That's very impressed.
No, I hate to disillusion you. I have the most awful cold this morning, so it's kind of dropped my pitch a couple of levels. Anyway, where were we? Yes, most people do things without thinking. But in England, we do tend to kind of analyse first and decide whether it's right for us. And I think that's actually quite healthy.
if not taken to extremes. I think there are always instances, and it's something where certainly working within education, there is the notion clearly that sometimes people can overanalyze. It's the equivalent to perhaps over-rehearsing piece, and they actually create more challenges than they would if they actually said,
well,
let's
not only that, if you think too much about something, you're less likely to do it. So you lose a certain amount of spontaneity. But I think that's something that, you know, it just depends on how an individual feels at that moment in time. Because if you're feeling a bit low, you're likely to protect yourself from doing anything that's potentially damaging. So you're less likely to do the crazy things, to push the boundaries a little bit. But if you're feeling good, you've got the edge and you'll actually take it that bit further. So just generally feeling positive can make a huge difference in what you do and how you do it.
Western medicine has actually gone through a whole series of revolutions, from the little machines that go ping, to quote Monty Python, right the way through to massive wealthy scenarios where there are almost health factories that you come across. And many folk would say, that's that good thing. But equally, is it a case that this is something which has always been there in the human condition, and somehow we're just actually beginning to appreciate and acknowledge the immense power that the mind has, and that through guidance we can work through this?
I think medicine and healing can be two different things. You know, if we have a positive attitude towards our illness and a positive attitude towards the medicine that we're taking, even a placebo will work. The body has the capacity to heal if the mindset's good. Not absolutely everything, but, you know, generally. We can either give in to the cold, which I have to admit I am doing right now, or you can actually overcome it, depending on what you've got to do. So I just think it's a fascinating area, the way that we can actually change our whole environment depending on what's going on in our head.
You've presumably chosen to experience cold-like symptoms because you felt, I just want to see how that actually feels like to do
it.
Well,
no, actually, it's quite nice to be looked after. So I think
that's my
secondary gain there. I've got a cup of tea. I'm still sitting in bed. And I'm talking to you. I'm having a wonderful morning.
Brilliant.
So far.
Exactly, sort of. And the globe through sirenonline.co.uk. Marvellous stuff. Looking ahead, we noted that you can be seen at the London Festival, which comes up 25th to the 30th of May, which is great stuff from that point of view. If somebody's actually listening to this and think, I'm sort of interested, I'd like to find out more, would you recommend they visit your website, ursulajames.com? Is there a text you'd like to go?
ursulajames.info, where all my tour dates are available.
Well, there we are. It says the whole thing from that point of view. And have there been any instances where, when you've actually been engaging in the whole notion of talking through with people who've obviously had issues, and it may well be the classics, it may be weight loss, it may be maybe weight gain, it may actually be coping with various challenges of life, addictions of a variety of kinds of things. Are there any ever times when you sort of think, I just don't believe this. I cannot believe this at all. Obviously, no names here, but I'm just sort of thinking, have there ever been times where you just thought, I can't believe this particular addiction or whatever?
Some of them are more than mildly bizarre.
Right.
and sometimes people are very quick to self-label, to say, I've got a phobia or I've got an addiction. To be honest, it's for a medical practitioner to decide whether that is actually the case, rather than just reading a magazine saying, I'm afraid of spiders too. But, cotton wool, beards, that's a weird one. I've always found that rather peculiar.
Not great if you're Robin Cook, of course, but never mind, that's a different line entirely.
Well, maybe there's a reason behind it.
Well,
but I think for every object and situation, there are fears and phobias. And finding out why people have got them is also fascinating, because there's a little bit of mental detective work that people like to do, so they get an explanation of why they're afraid. And it may or may not be real, but it's their version of events.
And as visiting teaching fellow at Oxford University Medical School, have there ever been times where you've come across medical students and they've just thought, this is ridiculous, this is just arrant New Age nonsense?
How about every day?
So
most of them start off with a healthy dose, or rather an excessive dose of medical scepticism. But when they see, the results, they also see that there's research behind it, and thirdly, they see benefit for themselves as their stress levels go down and their academic performance improves. It's amazing how people start to buy into the process.
Even the placebo effect, you could actually argue, is tantamount to the power of the mind and suggestion.
Without question. You know, having somebody kiss it better. What can I say? Well, you feel better, don't you?
Exactly so. We must.
I don't do that bit.
There's a certain line where you just have to say, whoa, just walk on that hell, basically. That's the important thing. Ursula, it's been fantastic just launching the show today with some fascinating insights there into the world of hypnotherapy and the way in which that's changing. As we've often said when we're looking at events such as this, it's not necessarily new age, it's simply a case of remembering stuff which perhaps we've forgotten lost touch with, really, from that point of view. So we've got a couple of final questions for you, good seller. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us here on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for Siren FM today?
I've had a lovely time. Ask me back.
Oh, but going straight into the second question, which is brilliant, can we look forward to hopefully featuring you again in the very near future?
I'd be delighted, but this time I won't be in my sick bed.